Ever since the days of Adam, man has been hiding from God and saying, God is hard to find. Venerable Fulton Sheen.
Welcome to the Dude Catholic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adrian, alongside a man who is what Bruce Willis is talking about.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, Bruce?
I'm Ramon.
Today, we start a new series called Broke. Our episode today is called...
Hard to Find.
Our scripture today comes from...
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Delicious.
So let's get this podcast on the road. I like that quote you read at the beginning, because it comes from one of my favorite people, one of my favorite saints in the making, I suppose. But come on, let's face it. It's Venerable Fulton Sheen. So one of the reasons why I like it is because it goes really well with the whole general idea of this series, which is that scripture, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, but it's really hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's really hard to find the kind of man that will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it's really hard becoming that man. And that's basically what we're trying to do. We're mentioning the scripture, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And entering into the kingdom of heaven is a hard thing. And so it's hard to find the kind of man that would get in there, you know, the one that would make it happen. And the thing about that is that it's not going to be the kind of man that goes along with the flow. It's not going to be the kind of man that hides from the truth, but wonders why the truth is so hard to find. You know, if we're closing our eyes to the light, we're not going to see it. If we're covering our ears to the truth, we're not going to hear it. And so we need to be able to be the kind of man that opens his eyes wide open, even though he's being blinded by the light. We need to be the kind of man that listens to the truth, even though the truth is hard to hear, because sometimes it points to our inequities. You know, and now I know where I was going earlier. You know, because what we're trying to do here is, and when I said, you know, what we're trying to do, I wanted to say, no, it's not what we're trying to do. It's what we're doing, you know, and I need to say that with a little bit more conviction. You know, what we're doing here is trying to encourage one another to be that kind of man. What we're doing here is becoming the kind of man that would inherit the kingdom of God. You know, the kind of man that would make this kingdom into God's kingdom, which is a way of inheriting what God has promised to those who remain faithful to his laws. You know, and that's kind of where I was going with that thought process. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. And one of the reasons why we titled this series Broke is because where we come from. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, you know, our upbringing, where we were raised, you know, for the earlier years of our life, and we came from very little. You know, I'm not saying that to make it into an interesting story. I mean, it is an interesting story if you think about where we're coming from, but it's kind of one of those stories that's hard to find here if you're not looking for it. You know, because everyone likes the underdog. You know, like when you're thinking about this, you know, when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about Rocky Balboa. You know, like he came from nothing and then made it to the top. And then what happens later on is that he gets comfortable and he forgets about that hunger. You know, he forgets about being hungry. And when you're hungry, you're going to find a way to eat, you know? And so then Mr. T comes along and it kind of reminds me of that, you know, like he's hungry. He wants to get out of poverty. He wants, like Nacho Libre says, a little taste of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
See what it tastes like. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about, you know, that those stories are so hard to find in this world of comfort, in this world where we honestly don't want to deal with discomfort. And man, like, it's a really good experience for me to be teaching at a middle school right now, because I'm starting to see that, like, to the umph degree. You know, that kids don't want to be uncomfortable. Kids don't want to do stuff. Like, they want to just coast by, because what does it matter if I don't? You know, and so that's another thing that's hard to find, my meaning, my why. Like, why the heck am I here? And so there's so many directions in which we can go to, but I want to kind of leave it up, leave you a little bit of room to kind of unspool the whatever's going on in that Ramon head of yours.
So you're talking about living in comfort. And comfort is such a freaking luxury. But it's kind of become the norm.
Yeah.
And you know, I like talking to you, and I love this podcast, because we can actually speak very matter of factly here without it being misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why a lot of men are becoming so soft. And I don't mean this in a macho way. It's just like in our faith. And from there, it's just contagious. It's spreading like a disgusting virus. And it spreads to every area of our lives. Whether it's our attitude, whether it's our, I mean, you name it, from our spiritual life to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, because God did not make us to be weak. As a matter of fact, God made us to be hard men that take initiative and bear responsibility. You know, when you give into the comforts of the secular world, you just become a soft man. And a soft man is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, there's so much to this. I so many layers to it. I don't even know where to start peeling.
See, that's kind of where I was at when I handed the baton to you.
Yeah.
It's like, there's so many places. Here you go, Ramon.
Yeah, no. And you kind of threw me off guard here, but like, I want to keep talking about this stuff, because it's so real.
Yeah.
I think I've spoken about this book before, and it's pretty savage, some savage stuff. And it's about the second Persian war that happened in 2004, this battle, the Battle of Fallujah, when the U.S. was doing stuff in Iraq during Operation Phantom Fury. The book is called House to House. And I know I've spoken about this book in the podcast. And the book opens with a crazy story. Like, these guys are hardened soldiers. The guy that wrote the book is, at the time, he was a staff sergeant. He was 28 years old, kind of young. And he was leading a bunch of youngsters, like 18, 19, 20, 20-year-olds, in a pretty nasty place. But they were already hardened warriors. And the book opens up with a pretty savage story of this suicide bomber. And these guys, not the soldiers, but the terrorist organizations, they were killing in the name of their God. And they were persecuting it is persecuting, right? Not prosecuting. Prosecuting is a law. So yeah, so they were persecuting Christians, decapitating, just torturing and murdering the Iraqi civilians. So whatever. I'm not going to go into a whole history lecture here. But the book pretty much opens up with these guys taking care of business and actually helping protect the Iraqis. So they savagely kill these insurgents, and there's like body parts everywhere. And these guys are so hungry, the soldiers, that when they blow up these guys, there's like candy bars on the street, because it was like kind of like an ice cream truck, and it's just covered in Is this too savage? Like
a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll see if we have to edit it.
Yeah. So the like all these candy bars are covered in like blood and body parts, like flesh. But these are infantrymen. These are our American boys. They're hungry. They've been out in the field for like a week or two without a shower, with very minimal food. But they're protecting these people that are being terrorized. And whatever. So they grab the candy bars, then they just kind of wipe off the blood and the human remains, and then they just start eating because they're so hungry. And I'm not saying this is like a Christian thing, but just having that attitude where nothing is going to stop me from doing what is right. Yeah, this is such an extreme example, but these extreme examples make me realize how much work I need to be doing in my spiritual life every day. Lately, I've been I've been really not feeling like talking to God. Not because I'm mad at God or anything. I just feel like I'm getting distracted by what I need to do because I'm starting this new journey and I'm going to a pretty rough spot. So I have to practice all this stuff and I have to learn all this stuff and I have to just get harder. But I'm so stupid because all this stuff that I need, everything that I need, the root of it is my spirituality, my relationship with God. Can you cut spirituality out? I hate it when people say, I need to be more spiritual. I just said it. What a freaking hypocrite. You're not leaving. Catching myself here.
It's okay. I wasn't going to listen to you anyway.
Yeah, but I'm so stupid. I get distracted with stuff like that. It's like, no, you idiot. You gotta get hard spiritually before you can get hard mentally, so that you can get hard physically. It's just crazy how we think we know stuff, but when it's showtime, we just tend to forget about the most important things, which is the basics. But the basics are things that are gonna help us go to heaven. What are the basics? Prayer. Well, what's prayer? Your relationship with God.
Boom.
What's your relationship with God? Everything. So there you go, guys. You listen to a podcast with a hypocrite.
Deuce yeah. Hypocrites.
Yeah.
But it's that's cool. That's part of the process. You're just realizing that we're all hypocrites at some point or another, and that God came for the sick, not for the healthy. You know, we're not doing this podcast for people who are saints already. That's, man, you should be doing the podcast if you're in that boat. You know, if you're already a saint, if you're already kind of there, you know, like you have no business listening to us. And this is why, it's important to remember these things. And it just kind of reminded me of something. I used to teach world, and I kind of came to a point where I'm like, you know what? I miss that. You know, I really do miss that part of having the other job, that I get to talk about God, that I get to talk about other things, you know, like even other faiths. It's kind of cool. And there was this one quote by Confucius, Kung Fu Tzu. And it is easy to hate and it is difficult to love. This is how the whole scheme of things works. All good things are difficult to achieve and bad things are very easy to get. And that's the thing, you know, you were talking about, you know, off mic, I'm not going to say that much, but in your line of work, the rule is simple, work hard, don't complain, don't whine, right? And so that's it, you know, that's part of it. And it's not that we're asking anyone to do anything that's like super hard. You know, it is going to be hard, spiritually speaking. Why? Because we have that tendency toward comfort, you know, going back to that idea. You know, and I don't think we can talk about this without either sharing or resharing about our upbringing. You know, we kind of just mention, like, glaze over the fact that we were raised in Tijuana. You know, and we were raised in the middle of a hill with no running water. Like the adults had to find a way to get water to the house in the middle of a hill, and it worked. you know, that worked and we made it work somehow and we lived there and we didn't complain because that's just the way life was. You know, fast forward, living here in this amazing country, the land of opportunity, so many people want to get here for a reason. You know, so many people complain, but that's because they're too comfortable already being here, being handed things for free. Man, I see the kids in public school and how they get this piece of technology called a Chromebook, right? It's a computer, and how they abuse it. Like, kids get upset because they're playing a game that they're not supposed to be playing in class, and they hit the screen, and sometimes they break it. And I'm like, ooh, dude, I get so ticked. I take that away from them, even if they don't break it. And I'm just like, you can't get this until your parents come pick it up from the office. They know why you don't have your computer with you. And so, like, I just get ticked. And, you know, and that's us. Because how many times do I, like, take a little time, just, like, half a second and thank God for being able to open and, like, turn a knob on and hot water comes out? You know, like, I don't really think too much about that. And that's me having gone through that. Imagine kids that have no idea what it is to actually need, what it is to want, what it is to have, like, holes in your shoes and not have enough money to get a new pair. You know, I can remember, like, wearing the same pair of shorts, like, whenever I was going to go out. And whenever I wasn't going to go out, I'd be wearing sweats or whatever was, like, accessible. Until mom got sick of it and she's like, hey, why? Like, let's get you some more pants. You know, and that was just part of reality for me. And I didn't complain. Honestly, I didn't think much of it unless someone else pointed it out. Like, oh, yeah, you're wearing those shorts again. I'm like, okay. Like, that was it. Like, I knew where I was. You know, I knew where we came from. I knew not to complain. And so if I wanted something, I was going to have to get it myself. There were some times where I didn't. But for the most part, I don't remember actually having to ask for anything after age 15. You know, once I turned 15, I remember buying everything for myself. And that's just the kind of life that we had, you know. It was different than most people here. And I knew that. You know, when I started going to high school here, I was like, yeah, like, I'm different than these guys. I have different priorities. I live differently. I was raised differently. Like, I have a different upbringing. And that's okay. You know, that we're not the same, that we're not on the same level. Someone may be in a better economical standing, but if we're placed in the same spot, if we're both standing from ground zero, you know who's going to survive. You know, so that's the kind of thing that we're talking about when it comes to our spiritual life. And yes, I said spiritual, Ramon. I know you like that word. But no, it's true, though. Like, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It's who you're going to decide to be from now on. And that, you know, to find the type of man that is going to take that upon themselves, you know, to be the kind of person that ends up going to heaven, that's hard to find as well. But it's not impossible. And I know that I don't want to talk about numbers about how many people are listening to the podcast and where you're listening to the podcast, but we're heard in a bunch of places, man. And that's kind of cool. It's kind of encouraging whenever I see that, because I see that people, not just in the US, but outside of it, you know, on the other side of the world, are listening to this, and it's something is ringing true in their ears. You know, that's something that, man, it's that deep desire in our hearts to rise above mediocrity, to rise above the comforts that everyone is so wholeheartedly seeking, to let go of that and hold on to God through thick and thin. And yeah, you know, it's not easy, because right now I'm going through a little rough patch too. And it's more about trusting God when you can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you know that it's there. Why? Because we've been through this struggle over and over again. The light is there. We will see the light. We will get out of this darkness, but we just have to keep on at it. And yes, it's easier to hate. It's harder to love. But just like, you know, whenever we do the same thing, whether it was me with my master's program before, whether it was you with your academy struggles, you know, if you do something enough, you get better at it. And so hopefully all this struggle is not in vain. And hopefully we can find that which is hard to find. That's us in heaven, hopefully.
It kind of sounds like a, what's the word? It's a contradiction, but what's the...
The English is hard.
It sounds like an oxymoron where, you know, even last week, because last week we were talking about being kind.
Yeah.
Being, and we've spoken about being gentle. A little bit before that, we were talking about, what was the Transformers guy?
Yeah, Optimus Prime.
Yeah, so he said, be strong enough to be gentle. And it sounds like the opposite thing, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was younger, I thought about, I was never like this tough macho guy, and I'm not. I'm just some dork. But now that I'm older, and the older I keep getting, the more I understand, the more I can relate to that. Being strong enough to be gentle and finding... just finding purpose in the grind, in the suffering, in the pursuit of our own godliness, not our own because of our own, but of the reflection in our hearts.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And if it doesn't, I'll repeat it again.
I felt that.
But that pursuit of the holiness that lives in us and, you know, being strong to be strong enough to be gentle. And just what we were talking about earlier, how God didn't create us to be soft men, because soft men will not enter the kingdom of God. Soft men are just nice dudes, you know, and that's a thing that we as men get wrong a lot. Like, we either have to be hard because of the secular world, or we have to be soft because
of the secular world. Remember, sorry, not sorry. That whole series was about
that too. Yeah, that too. And somehow people think that Jesus was soft, dude. Like, oh, what would Jesus do? Turn the other cheek. But turn the other cheek doesn't mean literally turn the other cheek so you can get slapped in the face. Turn the other cheek means you can easily walk away. Like, you don't have to engage in stupidity. You get me? Like, I think it's more hard when people talk trash and you just look at them and with just a blank stare. And just, okay, I've done it before where, and you know what, let me actually finish the story I started telling yesterday. Last week.
Do it.
So the guy that I was talking about in the last podcast, he's said some dumb stuff about me being Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at him and then I look away. And then he said something, whoa, is that what Jesus would do? And this and that. I look at him again, and then I just, like, that's dumb. Like, that's not going to – me arguing with this idiot is not going to – and, yes, I'm calling him an idiot because of how he's living his life and how he's just poking the bear when he doesn't have to. It's like it makes no sense. Like, I'm not going to waste my time on you. I think it's a much – and it's proven – to be a much effective way of handling that situation by just looking at you, just staring at your pupil with a dead stare on my face, and then just look away and ignore you. Because that's how stupid it is. Like, you're really gonna trash goodness and kindness. Like, it makes no sense. Like, I'm not gonna waste my time with that. Just like Jesus didn't waste his time on those idiots that were trying to stone that woman to death. What did he do? Instead, he was riding on the ground. But Jesus was a much better man than I am. And he said, well, he without sin can cast the first stone. What I do most of the time is I just look at people and I look away. And then I don't care about what you have to say. That's not going to take me to heaven. And I am never going to say anything that's going to change your life. What I can do is lead by example. And the way that I'm leading is just like, dude, like, you're weak. I'm not going to waste my time on you. You want to be weak? You want to stay in the mud? Stay in the mud. I don't give a care. I don't care. Just, okay, that's you. Bye. But that had such an impact on this guy that he's actually kind of nice to me. And I actually kind of like the guy now. That's why I didn't say he was a jerk. Or maybe I did. I don't know. But I'm not saying.
You said idiot.
Yeah. And but he was just acting like an idiot. He was just acting like a jerk. He was just poking at the wrong thing. Like, dude, like, why are you going to talk trash about Jesus Christ just to piss me off. Yeah, you know, it's just, no, dude, like, no, like, that's dumb. So I forgot where I was going with this, but all I can say is,
man, I'm just waiting to jump in because
jump in, brother.
So man, I was saying, like, you're opening up a whole can of worms, because when Jesus says that, I don't know, I'm just imagining something else. You know, I feel like everyone wants to make the Christian into a pushover because of the whole turn the other cheek. But think about what that means. It kind of reminds me of something. I mean, my Jesus' version is way better than mine. My version was like when I was little, I remember our older brother not being too kind to me at times. And one time I remember he punched me in the arm. And instead of being like, "Oh, you hurt me," I just turned to him and I'm like, "You hit like a girl." It hurt me. But I said, "You hit like a girl," back when that was politically correct or politically, no one cares enough to bat an eye about it. I'd say like, "Yeah, you hit like a girl." And then he'd hit me harder and I'd just keep on going. You know the ending of the story, you know? And I'm like, "You still hit like a girl." And then he hit me a third time, right? And man, that hurt. And I was just like, very strong girl. that was my way of turning the other cheek, you know? And it wasn't the best and it wasn't the most effective. It was not at all, you know? It was the opposite of it. But it's one of those challenging things, you know? Imagine that times actual strength. You know, like when that happens, it's like, you turn the other cheek, why? Because it didn't hurt. You know, it reminds me of someone who actually carried that out when he was being martyred. They were roasting one of the saints, and I can't remember his name for the life of me. I'm going to have to put it on the podcast notes. But this saint was being burnt alive. Like, he was being roasted, literally, like a rotisserie chicken. This particular saint was being roasted, and then he just cries out, "Hey, I think you can flip me over, guys. I'm done on this side." And I was like, dude, what the heck? You know, that is, if not stupid, it's manly. And if not manly, it's divine. Why? Because talk about turning the other cheek. Turn me around because I'm done on this side. In other words, I can't feel a thing. Flip me over so I can suffer for my God.
Yep.
And that is hard to find. And hopefully, you know, we are never faced with that situation. But when it comes to turning the other cheek, when it comes to being that man that's hard to find, the reason why is because, you know, like, you hit the nail on the head. We have to be strong enough to be gentle. And what that means is that we're going to be the kind of men that clean up crap to be an example. We got to be the kind of men who are not afraid to expose our weaknesses for the sake of helping someone out. You know, right now, one of my classes is doing something to promote mental health. And the reason why I chose that particular class is because there's a group of individuals in there who are a little bit more mature, who are also people who have gone through stuff. And I told them, like, you have no idea the people that you're going to be able to help with this. You know, we need to be the kind of people that put our, and you know, I'm not saying put your wounds out there. But if you are a strong enough person to do that, do it. And what we were talking about suffering and confirmation class, because I'm volunteering now for a confirmation program here in a church at Whittier. And we talked about suffering and their stories. You know, we don't have so many religions, you know, try to give you the solution to suffering, you know, in Buddhism. This to live is to suffer. Suffering can be stopped, and we have the formula. You know, we have the Noble Eightfold Path to get rid of suffering. And Buddha was supposed to be the one that was going to liberate people from suffering. And if you follow his ways, you'll solve that problem. But that's not so. And we know that because we have the creator of the universe who came and became one with us. Not so that he may give us the reason why we suffer. He said nothing. In the Old Testament, we're given Job. And what does God tell Job when he's asking him, why is it that they're suffering? Why am I suffering? You know, I'm a good guy. Like, why am I suffering? He basically tells him, who are you to question me? And what happens when Jesus comes and suffers, even though he doesn't deserve that suffering? He doesn't tell us a word. He suffers with us. He takes on our suffering and shows us that we're never alone. And we're never going to go through these sufferings alone. And when we turn the other cheek, let him be our strength. Let him be the source of our badassery who says, I'm done on this side. Flip me over. Bring it.
I, by any means, am not that hard.
Me neither. I'd probably pray to God that I'd pass out before that.
I don't even know how to start this, but I'm just going to dive into it. There's going to be stories that are told and some that are not. This is, I think, one of the ones that are actually worth sharing. On earlier this week, we started Jail Ops, Jail Operations, which is another school. And we had to get Taser certified.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, and at least in California, you don't have to be tased. You don't have to be exposed to it to be an operator. However, it is highly encouraged that you do, so that you know how bad it feels, so that you can articulate when you go to court. All that to say this. Most of us volunteered. And I'm proud to say I volunteered to be electrocuted, to ride the lightning. And there was this guy that I'm super cool with. And he didn't volunteer. And then he felt really embarrassed. And today he was telling me, like, he's a white guy, so he and he turned really, really red. No, I mean, his race doesn't matter, like, but I'm the only reason why I brought up is because he looked like a freaking tomato. Like, he was red, just filled with shame. And he said, you know, you're always so nice to people, and it's so crazy how somebody so, what do you say, like, such a kind soul or something like that can be so damn tough. And I was like, what the hell? Like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know, dude. Like, because, I mean, I'm not always talking about God, but he knows I'm all about my Catholic faith. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah, there's like, you're just such a kind soul. He's like, but dude, you're just so badass. I was like, why? Because I'm an idiot and I chose to be electrocuted even though I don't have to. He's like, no, but like, and then I forgot exactly what he said. And I told him, dude, forget what people say. If you're going to get electrocuted, it's going to be because of you, because you want to know what it feels like, because you want to get harder. You want to experience pain so that you can grow from it. And I'm not going to do a good job at explaining this to the listeners on the podcast, but it's just one of those things that in the past 6 months, like my people, like my new brothers and I have been going through, like how much we grow from sleep deprivation, from pushing past fatigue and even injuries, which is not, I don't recommend that, but that's kind of what had to happen. And it's just, you know, again, I'm not going to try to explain this here because maybe not everybody's going to understand. And I'm too stupid to know how to articulate this. But going through that pain, like, there has to be a purpose behind it. And that's what I was telling him. There has to be a purpose behind it. And not because you don't want to be ashamed. Like, who cares what these people say? It's all about you, how you're going to grow, like, in your heart and in your mind. And I told him, because I love you, dude. You're my bro. you're my freaking brother. But if you do choose to ride the lightning, then that's going to be for your own growth. Because being electrocuted is not fun, man. It's really not. And yeah, it's only 5 seconds. That's why I feel like a punk. But that thing, it really tore my skin because they did it in my abdomen. They did it like right below my chest cavity. And then they got a part of my pelvis. And it's rough, man. It was rough. So again, all that to say this, it's not about we're not called to be hard just for the sake of being hard and how people are going to look at us. You know, that's merely a byproduct, just a secondary thing that comes from being a hard man that God created us to be, a freaking hungry tiger for our faith, so that we can have this light-skinned fella that is more red than a freaking tomato gain back his pale complexion and give this little Mexican guy a hug. And that's what I'm talking about, that little reflection of God's love and God's strength. Because God did not create you to be weak, because the weak are not going into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I'm not talking about just physical strength. That's a secondary part of it. Work on your relationship with Christ, and then everything else is going to follow. And life is not going to get easier. You're just going to keep getting a little bit stronger. Maybe not every day, not every week. And the thing is, we just got to keep moving forward.
Pray for us.
And we'll pray for you.
Ferrum.
Ferrum.
Aquitur. I'm your co-host, Adrian.
Adrian.
We're barely starting. We're barely coming back. All right.
Deserve it.
I do. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to take it like a man. Like a man. Like a man. Who is what Willis is talking about? I hate you.
And the Chuck Norris, I mean, the Ramon fact of the day is...
All right, can we do a podcast? Facts. Ramon, can we do a podcast now? Is that okay with you?
Let's make it happen, brother.
All right.